Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so thankful and blessed that you have chosen to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with us here this morning. As we open this time of praise and worship, if you would, please stand and may we bow our heads and our hearts and open with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We bless you, O Christ, our risen Savior. We thank you for the gift of mercy, the gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness. And Heavenly Jesus, we especially thank you for this opportunity to meet together, to sing praises unto your name, to gather, to extol your holiness. We thank you, O Christ. We thank you, blessed Savior. We thank you, merciful God and gracious King. We commit this time into your care, and we request that you would take it and use it and to honor yourself through it. And may you forever change us because of it. We pray this in the mighty name of the risen Savior, our Lord, and coming King Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Amen. As we get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbors and say, I'm stepping out for God.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he's above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise.
Forever.
Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. With us forever and ever, forever. My hand in outstretched arms, his love endures forever. Oh, for the life has been reborn, his love endures forever. Setting sun, his love endures forever. Oh, by the grace of God, we'll carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise
forever.
Forever, God. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever, forever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to know that you are there forever with us, Lord, no matter what we do. As long as we put you first, ask for forgiveness, and seek your face, Lord, you're going to be there. Allow us to be that example unto others, Father, because one day we will all get to heaven, and we'll get to see you, our wonderful Lord. We thank you for all you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting and serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We'll sing and shout the victory. We'll sing and shout the victory.
As we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for that victory You do give us, Lord. We thank You for allowing us to step out, for You are a great and mighty God. There isn't anything You won't do for us, Lord. Allow us to be that light, Father. Allow us to step out and have that faith and know that You would like us to do that, to reach others. Father, we thank You for how great You are. In all things we give You praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The splendor of the King, He's clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, in darkness tries to hide, and trembles at His voice, and trembles at His voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And I will see how great, how great. In His hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. Our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and I will see how great, how great is our God. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God. We'll see how great, how great is our God. our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Now we'll see how great.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for being a great and awesome God. Father, as we do step out for you, allow others to see that greatness through us and through our actions, and allow us to have that courage and that faith to be able to do that. Lord, we lay everything to you. There isn't any discouragement, any kind of financial burden, any kind of worry that we're going through or any trouble that you can't take care of, Lord. We have no past, but just a bright future with you. Lord, we ask that you continue to watch over each and every one of us that are here and those that could not be here, and bless this church and our pastor. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our God is great. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements here this morning before we continue this time of praise and worship. If you turn to the back of your bulletin, you will notice with me on Thursday, October the 20th, and it's hard to believe that we are even saying the month of October already. Seems like we just started 2016 just a couple days ago. However, we are entering into October here in a couple days. And so Thursday, October the 20th, the entire church is welcome to attend our charge conference, and that will be held right here at Trinity, and this is our annual meeting. And so basically the 6:30 to 7:15, that is only for the staff parish. And if you are on staff parish, then you know who that is. If not, then you are welcome to attend from 7:15 on. And this is where we will vote on various items from the church and make various decisions, business decisions. And so we want to make sure over the next 4 weeks, you're going to hear me announce this over and over and over again. Also, if you are interested in becoming a member here at Trinity, you can see me after the worship service. We have a great group, I believe, of 8 individuals that will be part of the next, member class. And so see me. We want to get that started here in another couple weeks. And so we want to have everybody have the opportunity to be a part of that would like to be. Lastly, on the very top, Sunday, October the 30th, from 5 to 7, if you'll note the date change, and I'm going to ask Rachel to come forward. She wanted to share a few words about Trunk or Treat. And friends, this is a wonderful opportunity that we here at Trinity have once again an opportunity to reach out to the youth in this community. And so we want to make sure everybody understands what that is about and what it looks like. And so Rachel, if you would please share.
Things were changed. So it's the 30th from 5 to 7. Some people are probably like, why are we doing another thing? We do Vacation Bible School, and that's a huge outreach. Anyone who's got a chance to be a part of it or see it, it's a big deal. That's kind of what we do. But it's more than VBS. It's, reaching out. It's showing people God's love. And kids really get a lot out of that. They're coming into a situation where sometimes they might not get God at home. So this is a way, doing Trunk or Treat, where we're kind of meeting a lot of families where they're at. Because I know a lot of people who trick or treat. So just giving them a little bit of love and showing them that we're willing to meet them in grace where they're at. We had a lot of kids through Vacation Bible School that really got a lot out of it. they came to know God in some way, shape, or form. And so just reaching out to them in another way we feel is really important. We had some slides. We don't have them available, but we'll be showing you to them hopefully soon so you guys can actually see what Trunk or Treat looks like. Really, it's as simple as you show up in the parking lot, you decorate your trunk. I've seen people do Christmas themes where they'll just take boxes and wrap them in paper and put them in their trunk, and then they have their candy bowl sitting with them, and they just pass out candy. And you can do it as elaborate or as easy as you want. Really, the sky's the limit. We'll be voting. All the kids will get to come around and vote on their favorite trunk, so to make it fun for us, too. It is rain or shine, so even if there's sprinkles in the air, we'll still be doing it. So, like I said, we'll have slides hopefully soon or pictures to show you guys, but if you want to know, get some ideas, you can always Google Trunk or Treat at Home, and it'll just, thousands of pictures will show up. So if anybody has any questions, Jen and I are available. I won't be here for the next couple weeks, but Jen will be, so thanks. Okay.
All right. Cool, thank you, Rachel. There is a sign-up sheet in Fellowship Hall. If you are interested and want to be a part of this outreach ministry, and friends, that's why we are here at Trinity, is to reach out with the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to reach out with the love of God to others who may or may not receive that, you know, as they grow up. And so that's why we are doing Trunk or Treat. The reason for the change is the village decided instead of having Trick or Treat on Monday, they swapped it to Sunday evening, and we want to have this at the same time that Trick or Treat is going on here at Gibsonburg. And so please, if you are feeling led and the Spirit is touching your heart right now, sign up on the sign-up sheet in the Fellowship Hall. As we continue this time of worship with the reading of God's Word, if Ray would come forward, and may we listen.
Yes.
Yes.
Today's reading is in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. To be found on page 1832 in our pew Bibles, if you care to join us. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission of God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we all be blessed. Ushers will now come forward for the giving of our tithes and offerings.
Yeah. so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Gracious, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do thank You for all the many blessings that You so graciously grant unto us each and every day. Part of those blessings, Father, we've placed on Your altar this morning, our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking Your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into Your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you here this morning. Now, you'll notice in your bulletin that we are going to be looking at Colossians 1, verses 19 through 28, which is what Ray read a few moments ago. But I want to change things up here a little bit. I have been on a journey. I've been on an odyssey over the last several months, and it really became very apparent to me when I realized that when I was in the business world, I was sharing my faith on a much more regular basis than once I came into ministry full time. And I'll say that again. 4 years ago, I was sitting in the parlor, you know, in a Bible study, and one of the attendants, they looked at me and they said, well, you know, you're better off than what I am. And I looked at him and I said, no, not necessarily. And they said, why not? I said, because I'm around Christians all the time. I'm around fellow brothers and sisters in Christ all the time, you know, and that's primarily who I deal with. It's a lot easier when you are working in the world to share your faith, to have those opportunities, because you're around those that need you to be around them all the time, friends. And so I began to be convicted of that, and so I began to just really read anything I could get my hands on. But like, what is it going to take to get me back to where I was, to share my faith on a regular basis? Because, friends, there's an interesting thing that happens. When you regularly share your faith, you get excited, you get passionate, you get inspired, you get energized, you get refueled, because that is why you are here, that is why I am here. And the exact opposite happens is when we don't share our faith, we get lethargic. We kind of bog down and we just settle down in our lives. And then we wonder why individuals who aren't believers in Christ aren't attracted to us, or they don't want to know more about what we believe. And quite frankly, you know, the longer that an individual is in a church, the less likely they are to share their faith. And friends, we live in a unique time. We live in a desperate time in some manners in our world. We have riots going on. We have, you know, the different shootings happening all across the country. We have different things that are happening in our world. And I'm going to tell you that we have the answer, friends. The answer is Christ and Christ crucified. The answer is the gospel of Jesus. And the world never more needs you or me than it does right now in our society in America. And so this morning I want to pivot. And I want to take us to 2 Kings chapter 7. And if you brought your Bible, turn there with me. If not, please turn to page 581 in the Pew Bible. I just want us to notice two things. Now, the background is this. There was a great famine in the land of Samaria. And basically, the famine was caused because the Syrians had besieged Samaria, and they had camped right outside of the capital of Samaria. And so the Samaritans were all hunkered down inside their capital, and they were in lack of food and lack of anything to live. In fact, the famine got so bad that cannibalism began to happen, and you can read that in chapter 6. You can see that it was not a pleasant time. It was not a pretty time. It was not a time of ease. It was a time of difficulty. It was a time of plight. It was a time of hopelessness. And so Elisha, the prophet Elisha, he begins in chapter 7 of verse 1. He says, Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heavens, could this happen?" Elisha responded and said, "You will see it with your own eyes," answered Elisha, "but you will not eat any of it." You know, friends, we live in a time where there is a famine. And the scriptures attest that there will be a famine that will come along the land, and it won't be a famine from bread and water. It will be a famine from the word of God. And right at the beginning of chapter 7, Elisha speaks the word of the Lord, and that is the famine that we are experiencing. And I want you to notice that our world is hungry. Our world is thirsty. And Elisha, being the prophet of God, the spokesperson of God, and prophets, friends, they lived in one foot in the present world and one foot in the heavenly realms, and they were able to see. Friends, Jesus is our great high prophet. He is our great high priest. And we know that he is returning again, and he has left us his word to speak to the world. Now notice what the officer on whose arm the king was leaning, he said, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heavens, could this happen?" Now, he was scoffing at Elisha. He was saying, God couldn't even make this happen. He was speaking of Genesis and God creating the heavens and the earth. And friends, there are people in this world that will scoff at God's word. That is true. That is very true. But that does not negate the need that is happening in our world. You know, the late Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, he said it this way. He says, "Hate cannot drive out hate. You know, anger cannot drive out anger. Only love can do that." I think about the riots in Charlotte, and I think of everything that's going on there. And then I think about Ben Ingram, the tight end for, I believe, he plays for North Carolina Panthers, or the, you know, some other football team. And he says, look, the gospel's the answer. And it is the answer, friends, because it's love incarnate. It's Christ incarnate. And you and I, we have a wonderful opportunity. We have a privilege and a high calling and a high honor to speak the gospel, not only with our words, but through our actions to a watching world. And so right at the beginning, we see a famine that was going on in Elisha's time in the land of Samaria, a famine, a lack of something. And in our world, we see a famine happening too. And it's a famine for a moral compass. It's a famine for a lack of purpose. It's a famine for a lack of hope. Because these people, they don't have hope, they don't have purpose, and they don't have that moral compass. Jesus gives us that. Jesus gives us the hope. He gives us the fulfillment of love. He gives us that moral compass. And it's the Holy Spirit that Jesus has placed in your heart and mind that leads us into all righteousness and convicts the world of sin. And so, friends, that's why Jesus called you the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He knows that there will be a famine for his word in this world. And because of that, he left you and me here. Now, before you say, whoa, I don't know if I'm up for that. The question is not whether or not we're up for that. The question is whether or not we're going to obey what God has left us here for. It's not a matter of willing to do that. It's a matter of obedience, because God always leaves a remnant, friends. He always will. And you and I are the remnant of the church. And until the day that he comes back, we have a role to live into. We have a responsibility to rise up into and to fulfill. And that responsibility is to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I want to keep on going here. Beginning in verse 3. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we will live. If they kill us, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. See, friends, the lepers in Elisha's day, they were required to live outside of the city gate. And so they were in this situation, in a state of plight, and they knew that if they stayed there, they were surely going to die. If they went into the city of Samaria, they knew that there was a famine there and they were going to die there too. So they literally had nothing to lose. And I would just wonder about these churches all across America, where over 5,000 churches close every year. And friends, I'm here to tell you that it's because they became like the church in New York City, where it put a sign on the door and it said, "We've gone out of business because we forgot what our business was." And our business is to share the love of God. Our business, through the items of Trunk or Treat and the ministries of VBS and the ministries of Trinity Care and all the other elements of ministry that take place here through Trinity United Methodist Church. That is our role. You see, we can look at the lepers in two ways. We can identify with the lepers. I have a friend, Matt. He always tells people, "I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where I found bread." That's the lepers, friends. Because they said, "We have nothing to lose." And that is what God wants you and me to understand, is that we have nothing to lose. If we share the gospel, if we extend the love of Christ to someone and they reject it, they are not rejecting you, friends. They're rejecting God himself. They're rejecting Christ himself. And so if we stay here and if we do nothing, then we will die. If we hunker down and move closer inward, then we're going to die. The only option that we have is to step out and, as some other people have said, is to jump. To jump. To move forward. To step out in faith. To move forward. Now, I realize there's many individuals in this congregation that are actively sharing their faith. And this is not to be a guilt trip person up here this morning. I am not trying to be the heavy here today. That is not my intent. My intent is to bring to realization the dire need that our world, our specifically our country, is in the state that it's in. It's thirsty. It's hungry. There's a famine for the word of God. There's a famine for the love of God. There's a famine for what you have and what you possess. And you might ask, "What do I possess?" Well, look, let's look at what the lepers found. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and clothes, and went off and hid them. They returned and entered other tents and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." You see, this is called the stockpile syndrome. Not the Stockholm syndrome, the stockpile syndrome. They found all of this loot. They couldn't eat everything. They couldn't use everything. And they found all of these empty tents, fully furnished, and they could not put everything to good use. And ultimately, they were stockpiling things, and they were hiding things so that they could go back for later days and use it then. That, my friends, is what you and I sometimes fall into when we know the riches that we have been given in Christ Jesus, the riches of heaven. You and I have been given the love that is God Himself. You and I have been given God Himself to seal our hearts for later redemption. You and I have been given the power that is from on high, that is from God. The dynamitic power that God has blessed you with is the same power that He raised Jesus from the dead. You and I have been given the peace that surpasses all understanding. You and I have been given the peace that floods our soul, that this world does not know. You and I have been given the confidence to approach a holy God with all boldness. Shall I go on? That's the stockpile, friends. Now, we can look at the lepers, and we can look at those in our community and our surrounding world. I look at those that are rioting in Charlotte and in other areas of our country, and you know what they're lacking? They're lacking what God has given you and me. They're lacking those things. They're lacking the self-control, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit. They're lacking the hope, which we know that God will right all things that are wrong. They're lacking the peace to know that they have an advocate in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And friends, we have the answer. We have the answer. We have the answer. Have you gone to the grocery store lately? I went to Kroger in Fremont just a couple days ago, and I'm a people watcher. Watch them. Watch what the people do. Hopeless. Hopeless. You see, we once were lepers too, until God healed us. He healed our hearts. He healed our souls. He healed our minds. He healed us, maybe not literally, but in a figurative sense, in a spiritual sense, He made us whole in Christ Jesus. And the rest of those that are not with Christ today, they, friends, are lepers. And the lepers, in this historical account, they said, look, we are not doing right. We need to go tell, lest something bad comes upon us. And so, friends, Greg Laurie, he's a pastor down in Georgia, and he puts it this way. The book of 1 John talks about a sin of omission, which are things that you don't do that you should do, and a sin of commission, which are things that you ought not to do, but you end up doing. And he says, if you're not sharing the gospel, and this is what really convicted me, friends. When I read his book, Tell Someone, and I'm still going through it, and he says, look, if you're not telling someone, it's a sin. It's a sin of omitting what you are called to do. It's a sin of doing what God has placed you on this earth to do. It's a sin of not sharing the good news. It's a sin of not being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And I have to agree with him. So I'm not standing up here speaking to somebody that, and saying that I have this all figured out. I'm inviting you all to join me on this journey. That's where I'm coming from. I'm speaking from what God has been doing in my heart over the last several months. And I can tell you, it's a joyous event. It's a joyous occurrence. When Kathy and I, we went down to Florida for our honeymoon, basically we were praying every day that God would bring some peoples, whether it was one or many, across our path. And every day there was somebody. I had the opportunity. I don't know if you guys have ever eaten beignets, which is a French dessert. Beignets are just like, they're my new favorite donut, okay? I mean, I love them. I really do. They had a beignet cafe down there, and I had the opportunity to pray with this lady. Now, it's not about bringing people across the line of faith. She was already a believer. Her daughter had had a stroke. Her daughter's 19 years old. And so I could see the grief, the heavy laden, the aspect, and everything that she was carrying on her face. And after hearing her interact with some other clients, I struck up a conversation with her. And friends, to pray with somebody, to be 1,500 miles away, and I will probably never see that woman again, to have that privilege, that opportunity. Kathy and I, we talked about a literal heart transplant individual recipient. We were in the rec center. And this individual comes in, and we strike up a conversation. And he's like, I bet you never saw a heart transplant recipient, have you? No, I never did. had the opportunity to witness to him, to share the love of God with him in light of what he is dealing with his physical struggles that he's going through at this time. And I'm going to tell you that every time I share my faith with other people, it's not about getting them to receive Jesus. It's about extending the love of God. Every single time, friends, I come out of there more excited, more energized, and more on fire. And that is why God has you and me wanting us to share his love. So we have two choices this morning. We're not even going to get to Colossians. It's two choices that we have. We can stay here and die. We can go in there and hunker down and be about all the things that we've been about and we will die. Or we can jump. We can venture out. And what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is they're going to scoff at us. That's the worst that they're going to happen. But you know what I've also found? Those are more and more of a rarity. When you genuinely, sincerely share a healthy concern and compassion for others, they will receive you. It's when we try to hit people over the head with a ginormous Bible and we try to jam it down their throat, that's when they will refuse. If you meet them where they're at, out of love, care, concern, and genuine, sincere concern for them, most of the time, they will hear you. They will listen. They may not accept, but they will hear. And so to that end, if you're wondering about the announcement on the back of your bulletin, Frontline, last Friday, and yes, it's on a Friday night. Last Friday, we began Frontline. We didn't do any of the studies or anything, but sometimes we as Christians, we get stuck, and we say, I don't know how. I don't know where to begin. I don't know what I am to say and what I'm not to say. I don't know who I'm to talk to. And if you're here this morning, if you are struggling with that, then I invite you. We're starting this coming Friday. We're going to go through a curriculum, and I invite you to join me on the journey because, friends, I know firsthand, when I was in the business industry, I was just on fire all the time. And I didn't be called into the ministry to be long in the face with my head down. There's no joy in that. You start sharing your faith. You start sharing it, you will be excited, and my hope for Frontline will be this, is that we will be iron sharpening iron, so one person will sharpen each other. And as we share those accounts of times that we shared our faith, I invite you to come and be a part of it. If you are questioning, what do I do? How do I interact? Where do I go from here? Come to Frontline, Fridays at 6 p.m. and join us in the journey, the exciting journey of sharing your faith in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for calling us on this incredible journey, this journey that we can walk with you in. Heavenly Jesus, sometimes we get frightened and scared and afraid, and sometimes we don't know what to do or what to say or even who to approach. And so, Father in heaven, we ask you, O Lord, to lead us in this journey, that we truly might be the salt of the earth and the light of the world that you have called us to be. We know and we realize that we have the answer, and the answer is you, Jesus, the answer for the struggles, the plight, the situations that are happening in our country. May we not overlook prayer. May we not overlook befriending people. But may we truly, truly, truly understand what you have asked us to do, and that's to extend the love of Jesus, your love, to this world in whatever way you call us to. So may you find us to be obedient and faithful, and may we journey with you as we reflect the true light, your Son, our Savior, our coming King, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot come. your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name, God of mercy, sweet love of
close. If you would, close your eyes and bow your heads. I personally believe that all of us who are in God's family and have professed faith in Jesus had one or several individuals that were instrumental in God using them to bring you to faith. Think of them. Think of that person or persons right now. give thanks to God for them right now. We just sang that God's love would come and find us. And friends, as it found you and me, the same is true for those that are on the outside, hurting, hopeless, looking for an answer, wanting that peace, solace, wanting that comfort. And friends, maybe you are the one that God will use to bring his love to them. As we close, may the God of all peace bless you and keep you. May his love saturate your soul. May his comfort strengthen your very being. And may you have the boldness of the Holy Spirit to go forth and to tell others of the hope that you have in the risen Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if not by speech, may we follow St. Francis of Assisi, and may we preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, using words. So may we share the love of God through action and deed. As you and I depart in peace, may the blessings of God rest bountifully upon you. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.